Exactly. If you ride, I mean, like even like I've got a Jeep. I've got an old school 2001 Jeep. You know, I mean, and I rode motorcycles, by the way, for a long time. And owned Buells, Yamahas, Hondas. I've owned them all over the years. Never owned a Harley. Don't hate me, everybody. But you know, there you go. So,
hello, boys and girls. That was the voice of Steve Olscher with Podcast Magazine. And this is Ted, your host here on the Motorcycle Man Podcast, and this is episode 296.
It's the Motorcycle Man.
In today's interview, I have a chat with Steve Olscher of Podcast Magazine, where we talk about podcasting, Podcast Magazine, and what the future holds for the craft. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, the Motorcycle Men Podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. Now, they're offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So to learn more, you go to scorpionusa.com. And Shinko Tires. Now, they have a tire to suit your needs and riding style without breaking your bank account. So go to Shinko Tire USA and make sure you tell them that the Motorcycle Men Podcast sent you. And Wild Ass Seats. Now, you can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, go to wild-ass.com. And get your cushion today. Make sure you tell the real Craig Johnson that the Motorcycle Men Podcast sent you. That's wild-ass.com. And for the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. That's right, boys and girls. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com, and our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the coupon code MOTOMEN. Your safety is worth it. Get over there and get yourself a pair of riding jeans and get yourself a California riding shirt. I got both. Plus the Roper gloves are absolutely awesome. I got the Wasteland vest is fantastic. You got to get over there and get some good riding clothes. It's about time you should be doing that. UClear helmet communication system. Now you enhance your ride with UClear's DynaMesh compatible intercom, powerful music, and crystal clear phone calls on any road, any trail, and on any helmet. Now to learn more, you go to uclearddigital.com and you tell them that the Motorcycle Men Podcast sent you. Now you say hello to Dave when you call. Now, Manscaped. Support for the Motorcycle Men is also brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. That's right, boys and girls. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. So now join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Now, you could get 20% off and free worldwide shipping with that coupon code MOTOMEN when you order at manscaped.com. That's right. Time now for that interview. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Motorcycle Men Podcast. This is episode 296, and joining me this evening, all the way from, Steve, where are you from?
San Diego.
You're in San Diego. Mr. Steve Olscher, the publisher, editor, CEO, guy in charge of Podcast Magazine. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, brother.
I appreciate it. You know, I don't often have non-motorcycle related people on the show, but when I do, it kind of gives a little perspective for people into what we do here. And this is what this one's all about. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
So, well, as you said, we publish Podcast Magazine, also the creators of Club Pod, which is the largest podcast specific club on Clubhouse, and I myself have been a podcaster since 2009.
Ooh.
So I've been in the space for a long time. We do live events. We got our own another live event that we're doing called Pod Expo that we're going to do in 2022, which is kind of the Comic-Con type of event for the world of podcasting. So that'll be really exciting.
Sure.
And then I'm an entrepreneur, man. Right. So 30 years as an entrepreneur, nightclubs.coms, real estate. You name it. I think I've done it over the years. Claim to fame is, well, one of the claim to fames is building liquor.com from scratch and then ultimately selling that to Barry Diller's IAC.
Wow. Look at you. Getting into it.
I can't. I need a mirror. I can take a look in the camera. There we go. There I am.
Now
you're much better looking than I am. Rather look at you.
I'm a bit older than you, so it doesn't. All right. So now you said you got into podcasting in 2009, right?
Yeah.
Now, what was that first podcast?
Yeah.
Was that your pod?
It was, yeah. Actually, the same podcast that I do to this day,
really?
Which is called Reinvention Radio.
Okay.
And so we really cover a wide mix of conversations, not the least of which is we love talking to people who have reinvented their lives, like they were doing one thing and then just completely did a 180 and doing something totally different now. So lots of different types of conversations that we have on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the first episode that we launched of Reinvention Radio as a podcast was in 2009.
Wow. No kidding. So that's the same podcast that you're working on today.
It is. I mean, we've taken some time off, right? Yeah. So a little bit here, a little bit there. Definitely taking some time off. Yeah. So, but for the most part, it's been consistent.
Wow.
It's been
that's very consistent. Awesome. How many episodes do you got?
honestly, I mean, it's over 1,000 episodes, but I don't know the exact number. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You don't get tired of that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I should actually know that, but now that you ask that question, I want to look it up, and I want to sound intelligent.
Well, you've been in business and doing podcasting for over 10 years, so I'd say you're significantly more intelligent than I am.
Yeah, you know. It's all good, man.
Yeah, it's all right. Hey, can you give us a little podcast history?
You know, it's interesting, right? So there's definitely folks who are more and better versed than I am in terms of kind of how things all started out, created, where it came from, and whatnot.
Right.
I look at podcasting and anything that falls under the umbrella of podcasting, especially as we look to redefine what a podcast is here moving forward, is really audio on demand. And
yeah,
more specifically, audio on demand that is available and accessible and delivered via the internet, right? Yeah. So anything that would fall under that category, I mean, you could even put Blog Talk Radio way back in the day under the category of a podcast. Realistically, if you can push a button and it's delivered through the internet and you can access that audio, whether it's an ebook or whether it's, you know, like an audio book,
sure,
or whether it's social audio or it's an evergreen podcast. That's how I would define what a podcast is today. Back in the day, of course, it had everything to do with the iPod,
mm-hmm,
and yeah, the deliverability of that MP3 file, but I don't think we need to get that granular.
Wow. Now, when do you think podcasting finally hit the mainstream and, you know, came to its own as a voice or a platform for the average guy or gal who wanted to do a podcast?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I would honestly say that, love it or hate it, depending on where you sort of stand in that particular arena.
Yeah.
I honestly believe Anchor was the tipping point for the world of podcasts in terms of people being able to easily create and distribute a podcast, right? Yeah. With nothing more than really the phone in their hand. Now, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because you don't always have the best quality shows per se. But I do think it's really leveled the playing field and just given people the opportunity to play in a space that perhaps they were previously intimidated by. So honestly, that tipping point, if we're going to use that, that framework or that analogy, really not that long ago, probably just within the last couple of years.
No kidding. Wow. See, I would have never thought that. I'm going to quiz you right now. Do you know how many podcasts Please. There are? I already know the answer to that.
I mean, my hunch, based on just where the trends are, is I would say it's somewhere in the neighborhood of around 2.4 right now. I know some people are throwing around the number of 4 million, but I think the number of actual podcasts that are available is right around 2.4.
And you would be right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia.
Yeah, what is the actual number, since you know?
All I know, well, I don't know the exact number, but all my research comes up with over 2 million.
Mm-hmm. So you said 2.4, so I want to go with your number. That sounds about right.
All right, good.
Yeah.
We agree.
So let's talk about Podcast Magazine. When did you realize it was time for a magazine on the subject?
I mean, I've been a fan, like I said, of podcasts for a long time. And it was October of 2019. That I was sitting in, I was actually sitting at a conference as an attendee. And the guy who puts on this conference is someone that I've known for a number of years. His name is Brendan Burchard.
Yeah.
Pretty big in the personal development type world. And big in the influence type world and that sort of thing. And so he was talking about for quite some time launching a magazine that he was going to call Influencer. I think something like that.
All right.
And so he had talked about it before, and I hadn't seen anything. And then I'm at this event, and I saw one sign for Influencer Magazine. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? I mean, this guy's always been pretty smart, like really smart. And this is super smart because he's going to create a magazine. It's going to be called Influencer. People are going to, of course, then be featured in that magazine who are influencers. And they're going to want to share that magazine with their community when they're featured.
Right.
So I'm thinking, yeah, just super smart, Brendan. You know, you win again. Great idea. And I'm thinking, what a great way to build your mailing list. What a great way to elevate status, build credibility, authority, et cetera. Okay. Great. Great idea. And I'm sitting there and I'm just going, man, why isn't there something similar for the world of podcasts? Like, you've got Sports Illustrated, which covers the world of sports and sports culture and all that fun stuff, right? You've got Rolling Stone, which covers the world of music and music culture. You've got Thrasher with skateboard culture and, you know, and so on. Guitar Magazine, right? I mean, I see all the guitars behind here. I mean, sure, you know, like all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, man, it's just didn't make any sense to me that there wasn't a magazine for the industry. And the fact of the matter is that if we wanted to put ourselves in a different light and we wanted to move out of just kind of being this hobbyist sort of thing, this closeted little industry that's cute, we need some sort of publication that's not an industry rag, but something that is really consumer focused and helps to build the community and the culture around podcasting. And it's a very long answer to your question, but literally, within 100 days of sitting in that chair and coming up with that idea, we launched our first issue, which is about 112 pages.
Wow. Now, you know, it almost sounds like, though, that the magazine is primarily for podcasters, but it's really for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, there are podcasters, of course, who read the magazine.
Oh, yeah.
But what we actually have found is that about 60% of our audience does not have a podcast and has no interest in actually launching a podcast. So it's pretty interesting just to see how it's kind of split almost down the middle, but actually a little more in the favor of the fan than the podcaster themselves.
That's good. Was it a real task to create the magazine from scratch?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never launched a magazine before. No clue how to do it. No, you know, I got nothing as far as all that goes. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we had to find a designer, we had to find a platform, we had to just get a much better understanding of what can we actually do with this thing.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, how do we create content for this? Like, what's that content going to be, right? So, right. We had to assemble a team of people to get this thing, you know, in some sort of working, interesting order. And before we knew it, we had a team of 21 writers all contributing to the magazine and a first-class designer putting this thing together. And we released it both digitally and in print. But pretty Herculean effort month after month after month to get this thing out.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Now, you had mentioned that it's also available in print. Now, initially, it was only a digital format that it was available in. Now, did the popularity of the digital version push the creation of the print version?
I mean, look, it was always our intention to have both. As a matter of fact, We still want to put this thing on newsstands. I mean, it shows up beautifully. It looks amazing. And it's a heavy, you know, it's a heavy piece, man. 100 plus pages every single month. And yeah. I firmly believe that if we can get Condé Nast or one of those players to the table, that this is a great niche publication for us to partner on and for them to get onto the newsstands, because the industry continues to grow. And so it's always been in our wheelhouse and always in our thought process to put this thing into print. So even from day one, man, we were thinking in that.
That's good. I can definitely see you guys in a place like Barnes & Noble. And mm-hmm. Definitely. No question about it. Now, tell us about some of the columns that are in the magazine and what can readers expect when they digitally or actually flip the pages?
Yeah. So we cover the whole industry from the standpoint of podcast culture, the industry of podcasting. And not only do we sit down with podcasters and go beyond the microphone with podcasters and deeper into the lives of the folks that, you know, so many people know and have heard of, but we also take really great pride in introducing our readers to shows that they've never heard of and absolutely should be listening to, right? So it's broken down by category, and there's 20-odd Apple Podcasts categories, like the top-level categories like education, arts, society and culture, science, technology, etc. So we have a section in the magazine for each of those top level categories. And then we have the category directors who go out and they find profiles and they do independent reviews and ratings. And we even have our own chart called the Hot 50 Countdown.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of categories, let me throw this at you. Do you think that the categories that are currently available for podcast placement, do you think it kind of pigeonholes podcast into perhaps a category that it doesn't belong in? Should there be more categories?
I mean, it's a great question. There's a lot of subcategories. So you take it pretty deep with all the niches, for sure.
Yeah.
Top-level categories, some of the tie-ins don't make sense, but I would say most of them actually do make pretty good sense. Now, all of that being said, part of where I think the industry is kind of struggling and really needs to figure this out, especially from a culture and identity perspective, is, you know, where does the listener really fit in terms of kind of categorizing themselves as a listener? Like right now, we don't really have that ID as far as the listener is concerned, from the standpoint of, look, I get it that maybe you listen to an education podcast, but you don't go around saying, I listen to an education podcast. You obviously would choose, you know, I'm an Amy Porterfield fan. I'm a Song Exploder fan, right? I mean, like whatever it is. And then there's obviously very different levels of production.
Sure.
I mean, there are some shows that spend tens of thousands of dollars per episode to get something together. Some even more than that.
Wow.
And then there's shows like mine where we just show up and start talking and do almost no production at all.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something to be said for maybe we need to have a little bit more clarity and understanding of what people can expect when they go and they start looking for shows, right? Because like if you went on to Netflix and you picked a movie and it was shot by a 14-year-old with his home video camera, you know, I mean, it would be funny at first, but then you'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to sit through a 2-hour whatever this is.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing in the world of podcasts. Yeah. There's just so much out there that frankly feels like the equivalent of a 14-year-old shooting a movie with his iPhone.
Right. I mean, for example, here we have a motorcycle podcast, and you can't actually, where does that fit in? Because it's not sports and is it sports and leisure? Is it automotive? We don't know. And it's like when you go into Apple iTunes or Google, whatever, and you search motorcycle, for example, you get a very broad variety of podcasts, many of which, even if they just say the word motorcycle, it pops up. So as an example, I think this affects more than just this particular genre, but it probably affects many, many other genres as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think that's just part of the growing pains and part of the process here, right? As we just try to figure out what this industry is going to be. And I know people are sitting here saying, you asked the question of, you know, how do you define a podcast and whatnot? You know, how you would define it today versus how you would define it 14, 17 years ago. Just a very different discussion. And I think that same evolution needs to take place just in terms of what the consumer is actually experiencing in terms of discoverability, in terms of search, in terms of the episodes themselves, and just in terms of the whole kit and caboodle. Really, it's in need of a serious, well, to use the word, reinvention.
Oh, sure. I bet. So now, as far as it goes for the podcast that you feature in Podcast Magazine, what goes into finding a podcast to feature in the magazine?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because we don't have a scenario here where our category directors come to us and say, here are the list of shows that we're thinking about featuring. What do you think? We actually leave it completely up to the category director to take ownership of and have autonomy as it relates to their particular category. So literally, when you go to the arts category, Angel, who is our category director for arts, she owns, so to speak, the decisions as it relates to that particular category.
Okay.
So
right.
At the end of the day, if the shows that she selects are shows that people don't have an interest in, that we don't see those counts in terms of the number of pages that are being read, et cetera, on the digital version, I mean, then we've got a pretty good sense of, okay, maybe she's not necessarily making the right decisions, but she is. And it's interesting to see how when you leave people with the responsibility, right, to be able to do what they need to do, they usually make the right choices.
Now, you just said something very interesting about the pages being read on the digital version. It almost implies to me that you can tell how many people are reading what pages.
You know, there are some deeper statistics and some deeper data that we can access.
No kidding.
Wow. That certainly shows us. Yeah, absolutely. That shows us, you know, much the same way that with your podcast, you can get a sense of kind of where the fall off is or where the peak is or maintaining, you know, that sort of thing. There are platforms that allow you to do that. It's not terribly dissimilar in the world of digital.
Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty good. So now as far as it goes for you're selecting your podcast for your features, is it do you go by podcast popularity? Is it topic based, or is you just sort of like a poke and hope thing and you get something?
Yeah, I mean, look, so obviously in our world, we need to do whatever we can do here to make sure that we have eyeballs and eardrums on what we're doing. So for the cover features, the people that I sit down with, I mean, those are typically going to be folks that, you know, the Adam Carollas of the world, sure, and the Jillian Michaels and those sort of folks, because, you know, those sell, right? I'm not going to sit here and say that celebrity doesn't sell, because it does. But at the same token, our goal more often than not is really to introduce the readers to shows that they haven't heard from a million times and really should consider listening to. So we try to keep it as even a mix as possible throughout.
All right. Well, one of my favorite features is whatever, regardless of what podcast it is that toward the end of that article is what that particular podcaster is listening to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very,
yeah, that's
great.
Something.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, we started introducing that literally from day one, because it's incredible, really.
Yeah.
To hear what podcasters are listening, because they listen to shows that you never would think that they listen to, and I always find that to be super interesting and super creative. And also, it introduces me to shows oftentimes that I haven't heard of.
Right.
And so, yeah, the podcast X person listens to. Now, that's always one of my favorite parts of the features as well, for sure.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot of times I've, as a reader of the magazine, I'll see this and I'll go, ooh, let me check that podcast out. And they, more than often than not, they end up on my playlist.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's plenty of them in there. Yeah. Tell us about the Hot 50 chart. That seems like to be a hot topic for readers and podcasters.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So we created the Hot 50 as a chart that wasn't based on downloads, right? Because all the charts that you see are really just kind of, I mean, they're contests based on the number of downloads that a show has. So,
yeah,
you know, Rogan pretty much wins that every time. Sure. Or, I mean, you know, the usual suspects.
Yeah.
So what we decided to do is we decided to give the power to the consumer, to the reader, to the listener, et cetera, the person who actually is a podcast fan. So, so every single month we ask podcast fans to vote for their favorite podcast. And every month we release this Hot 50. So, I mean, like literally you could just say, hey, folks, go to podcastmagazine.com/Hot 50 and vote for our show if you like it. And we've been able to get some really good exposure for shows that, you know, frankly, you might never hear of unless you'd find it there on the chart.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because this podcast was on the chart for, I think, 2 or 3 issues. So I find it pretty interesting. And I had to practically beg my listeners to go and vote. But
yeah.
When I look at that chart, I find it interesting that it seems like to be the most popular, and maybe you can verify this, the most popular podcasts are crime related.
Yeah, interesting, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it is pretty incredible to see how popular true crime is. Like, I mean, 50 to 55% of the shows that are typically on the Hot 50 are true crime shows.
I know.
So,
yeah, I was like, I don't get it. Like, what?
Yeah, I know. I know, but true crime is a massive category, and I think it's part. I think partly it's such a big category because you give people the opportunity to really just immerse themselves in story.
Yeah,
and people love a good story.
Yeah,
and a well done true crime podcast is exactly that, right? I mean, it's told in story form, and at the end of the day, that's what sells. People want to kind of go back to the days of the War of the Worlds and, you know, immerse themselves in those, you
radio
know, tell
shows.
Me a story as opposed to show me a story type scenario.
Right. Exactly. Do you have a favorite podcast aside from your own?
You know, I have a couple of podcasts that I really like. So one of them that I mentioned earlier actually is Song Exploder because I love music.
Yeah.
And I do love just the whole discussion around what makes a show good. Take a listen to this. Like, I'm always really curious in terms of why a song, you know, a selection is able to find success and why other songs aren't. So I just they do a really good job of breaking that down and sharing those songs. So that's one. And the other one that I like just for fun is Dan Savage, because Dan Savage has a show called Savage Love. And, you know, it's just always interesting to hear the conversations of, hey, this is going on in my life, and is this normal, and what do you think, and hey, can you help me with this? And, you know, it makes you feel a little less weird, and it makes you feel a little more human when you start hearing some of the things that other humans are going through.
Yeah, I get it. This is the top question, I think. Do you think that podcasting has replaced talk radio?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's replaced talk radio by any stretch. You can still look at some of even if you look at the AM stations. I mean, why is AM still going? I don't know, but it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the reality is for a certain person, you know, a certain demographic, AM radio is still what they love. Now,
yes,
you would never catch my sons listening to AM radio. You'd never catch them listening to radio at all. So the future of talk radio, pretty bleak.
Yeah.
And whether or not that translates over to podcasts or whether or not that translates over to social audio, obviously it remains to be seen, but I'm not loving the future for talk radio given what I see in anyone under 50 years old.
This is true. So where does podcasting go now? I mean, it just seems like it's growing and then it's not growing. But do you see a cap with the growth of podcasts, or is it just going to be a fluctuation of podcasts coming and going?
Tough question. And I would certainly say that there is real risk at hand here.
Really?
I mean, real risk in terms of the world of traditional podcasts as we know it, having some real issues moving forward. And I'll tell you why. Part of the reason why I think traditional podcasts are potentially going to come up against it is because right now there's more choice than ever.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's number one. So to be able to secure eyeballs, secure attention, secure eardrums, tougher than ever. And that's number one. Number two, you have a very, very, very one-way conversation when it comes to a podcast. Like, I mean, God bless the folks that are listening right now, right? Thank you for listening.
Sure, we appreciate it. Absolutely.
But let's be honest, you're not part of this conversation. You're literally just sitting here listening to us have a conversation. And I will say that in the same way that user-generated content really changed the whole world of publishing, you're going to see the same sort of reinvention, renaissance, whatever you want to call it, in the world of participation, because people want to be heard.
Yeah,
they don't just want to sit there by the sidelines. They at least want to be able to participate in some meaningful way to a conversation. So, you know, I think that there is real risk if you ignore your consumer and you ignore your community and you don't involve them somehow in the conversation. So from that standpoint, I think there's real risk.
Wow. It almost sounds like you've defined podcasting as AM radio.
To some extent, right? And because audio on demand, accessible and delivered via the internet, is certainly something that for a long time was very comparable to talk radio, because there's really no difference when you come right down to it to accessing a podcast versus accessing a talk radio station, because you don't have any control over what that conversation is that's taking place. You just happen to be on that dial.
Right.
Well, the same way that most of your people didn't choose to listen to me right now, they just love you and they subscribe to your show, and this is next in line. So as things really move forward and you give people more choice of selection and you give people more power to be able to really dial in what goes into their ears, you got to be real careful about what you're putting out as a podcaster, because the odds of your being included in some of those conversations down the road actually is much smaller than you're being excluded.
All right. So does the ability to live stream and have call in listeners, does that lessen that effect?
To some extent, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know there's people that are going to be saying, well, look, you know, look at Rogan, 190 million downloads a month. He could never do a show where there's people, you know, just sitting there as part of that conversation. Like, how, you know,
yeah.
Why would you need to do that? How would you do that? So, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying this is going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. I'm just saying you have to watch what the trends are.
Sure.
And the trends are shifting towards inclusion and being part of a community.
Okay.
That's why when you look at the NFT space right now, part of the reason why the NFT space is blowing up in the way that it is not because the artwork is killer. I mean, it's in a lot of instances, it's just pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it's because of the community that is created around the art, and the community then assigns value to that based on their based on how enamored they are with the community they're a part of.
All right. So now, so then you would have to say that platforms like Twitch and YouTube have an advantage over podcasting.
I mean, it's easy to see what's going on with a platform like Discord. As an example, it's easy to see what's going on with a platform like Twitch. YouTube is not Twitch. YouTube is not Discord. right? I mean, unless you're doing YouTube Live, and then that's a different. And so if you're talking about YouTube Live, and that's a different discussion. Okay, sure. So from that standpoint, absolutely. And so, yeah, the more that you have this community that is involved in the conversation, I believe not only, of course, it's going to be easier for you to then move those people into a different conversation that really upholds and sustains and makes scalable the community that you're building.
Yeah.
But it also makes them have ownership. And these are really crucial pieces of the puzzle.
Right. So kind of going into those other platforms, Discord and Twitch and YouTube Live, for example, this gives the listener more of an opportunity to be part of the show.
I agree wholeheartedly. Wow. Yeah, exactly. And just, again, it's about being inclusionary as opposed to being exclusionary.
Yeah. Wow. So I guess us podcasters better get on the ball then.
Yes, for sure.
So what does the future hold for Podcast Magazine? What do you guys have, anything special coming up?
Well, I mean, for us right now, we are actually moving in that direction as well in terms of having more of a community type environment built around what we're doing with the magazine, with Club Pod, and actually involving our base much more substantially.
Okay.
And so the future, if you will, really does involve participation, and really does involve creating more of a culture around the industry of podcasting. Because to me, as I sit here today, I don't feel like podcasts and the podcast industry and podcast, you know, the world of podcasting really has an identifiable culture. When I think of somebody who listens to podcasts,
that's interesting.
I kind of think of what? I don't know what. Like, that's what I'm saying. You know, like when you think of somebody who skates, like a skateboarder,
that's a culture. It's a culture.
There's a culture, right? You think of somebody who plays electric guitar, there's a culture.
Yeah.
So
same thing with motorcycling, right? It is a culture of itself.
Exactly. You know? If you ride, I mean, like, even like I've got a Jeep. I've got an old school 2001 Jeep.
Right.
You know? I mean, and I rode motorcycles, by the way, for a long time. And owned, I mean, Buells, Yamahas, Hondas. I've owned them all over the years.
Okay.
Never owned a Harley. Don't hate me, everybody. No. You know, there you go. So,
we love all riders. It doesn't matter what you ride.
So, but when you think about a motorcycle rider, you have a certain sense of what that culture is. You think of Sturgis, and you think of, you know, sort of that environment. When you think about people who drive Jeeps, like right now, all I have to do is go down the road, and if I see another Jeep passing by, you know, we kind of peace sign each other.
Yeah.
Just the same way when you ride, you know, you drop your hand and, you know, it's like, what's up, buddy? Right. So that's part of what we need to be front and center on in terms of driving that conversation.
Definitely does not exist in the podcast community.
No, it does not.
On that note, I know there is a podcast sort of like a Comic Con of podcasting that happens every year.
Well, that's what we're looking to do, right? So that's actually Pod Expo, the event that we're doing.
Sure.
There was another event. They tried it. They did it for a couple of years, but it kind of fell by the wayside. I don't know if they're going to be doing it again, but we certainly are.
Great. Any plans of when and where that would happen, or are you still in the planning stages?
Yeah, so we're going to do it March. So the dates that we've got on the calendar right now are... March 10th through the 12th.
10th through the 12th. And where is that going to happen?
Los Angeles. Oh. You heard it here first.
Great. Now you are also involved in some other things, other services that you offer podcasters. Want to tell us about that?
I mean, look, we launch podcasts. We create brands. We really help people leverage the power of the new media trifecta where their brand, their podcast, and their offerings are all aligned. I mean, we're very strategic in terms of helping to lay out overall goals and objectives, and you want to jump into the space, you know, who better to learn from than the company that actually puts, you know, Podcast Magazine out, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that we do. We've got done for you services, done with you services, and the whole nine. So, yeah, across the board.
And there's something else about finding podcast guests, I believe.
I mean, we did that for a while where we had an event called the New Media Summit, where we would give people the opportunity to take center stage and pitch top podcasters on who they are and what they do, and they literally get booked on the spot.
Okay.
We haven't done the New Media Summit since COVID. Don't plan on doing it again as a standalone event, but we will incorporate elements of that into Pod Expo. So that's the plan.
Oh, all right. So closing out is, how can people learn more about you and the magazine?
Well, I mean, best place to go is really just podcastmagazine.com/free, because that's where you can get a free lifetime subscription. So, yeah, I mean, I would say just go to podcastmagazine.com/free and join us for the ride.
Excellent. Any final words for those thinking of getting into podcasting?
I mean, I would say give it serious thought, give it serious consideration. Do we really need another podcast? And the answer, I think, for the most part, is no. So knowing that the answer is we don't really need another podcast, what are you going to do to change my opinion?
Oh, there you go. That's good. I like that. I like that answer. You know, it's funny because I did a little research, and at last count, there were 164 motorcycle-related podcasts.
There you go.
And that's a lot. More than half of them are dead.
Well, that just follows suit. So of the 2-odd million podcasts, about 50% of them are no longer producing episodes, and then about 50% of those don't have 10 or more episodes. So you're really only looking at about, if we're using 2 million, you're really only looking at about 500,000 shows that are still active,
right?
And have more than 10 episodes.
Oh, well, Steve, listen, I want to thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast. It was absolutely super interesting to talk to you about this stuff. I really, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Motorcycle Man Podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. Go to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate, and you get to see your money go to something that actually makes a difference in the lives that are affected by cancer. And the Gold Star Ride Foundation, helping families of fallen soldiers. If you would like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, go to goldstarride.org and learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. All right, thanks for listening and joining me and Steve Ulsher here on the Motorcycle Men Podcast, where we talked about podcasting and Podcast Magazine. So to learn more about Podcast Magazine, you can go to podcastmagazine.com. Now, links will be in the show notes and, of course, on the Motorcycle Men website. All right. And don't forget to get over to Motorcycle Men YouTube channel and watch some of the many videos we have there, including the Ted Shed and Ride with Ted videos. More are coming. I'm a little behind. No, I'm a lot behind, but I'm behind, and there's going to be some new ones coming up. A lot of things have been going on, so we're working on it. Also, if you could, please send some good prayers and some good vibes to Motorcycle Men co-host Tim, whose house was hit hard by Hurricane Ida, and he got flooded out of his house. So he's currently in a rebuild process. So please, everybody, send good vibes to Tim, and we hope he gets back in his house really soon so that we can start recording shows in his house again. All right. So for the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thank you for listening. And remember, boys and girls, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely, kids.